Amen. We thank you, Jesus. You're more than enough for us. We love you, Lord God. We thank you, the God who heals. You're the God who restores, Lord God. And we just pray right now, Lord Jesus, as we worship, for anyone in our church family, anyone associated with us who needs your healing power and your healing presence all over their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you bring your healing? Would you bring your provision? Would you bring your restoration? In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, team. You are awesome. And it's just great worshiping this morning. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Tom. And it's a great honor this morning to be able to speak with you as we continue our theme that Jordan started last week on God's grand design. Wasn't it great? We have so enjoyed putting this theme together, this series together, because we believe we are living in exciting times, in exciting days, and we truly believe this, that the best is yet to come, and that God has got some amazing things in store for us as individuals and as a church community. So my title this week, continuing on from last week, is this: God's grand design from the ground up. I'll say that again. From God's grand design from the ground up. And what I'm going to speak on this morning, it's not necessarily the fun topic, the light-hearted topic. It's not glitzy and it's not glamorous, but it's essential. It is something that we have to take seriously if we're going to build something that endures and is long-lasting. I'm effectively speaking this morning on the importance of building firm foundations into our lives and establishing firm foundations in this house as together we seek to rebuild and repurpose and move forward into all that God has got for us. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn with me, please, to, first of all, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through to 29, and then Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through to 49. Let's turn to Matthew, first of all, and Jesus is saying these words: "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Let me also read to you the same story taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 46 through to 49. "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundations on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." Now this morning, you need to know this, that I am not a builder. And everyone would agree who's in this room right now would also agree with that. Johnny B is not a builder. But I don't profess to knowing too much about building. But I do know something. A great building needs great foundations. A great building needs great foundations. Before you build up, you have to build down. You don't build from the top down. That's impossible. You build from the ground up. As I said before, foundations, they're not glitzy, they're not glamorous, but they are essential. Foundations are not seen. They can be forgotten about quite easily. They don't get the credit they deserve. They are rooted deep underground. But in so doing, they provide the strength, they provide the support that is necessary for a structure to endure and last. Foundations, you see, they determine the size, they determine the shape, they determine the character, they determine the quality of a building. Did you know this? That the Burj Khalifa in Dubai is the tallest building in the world at 829 meters. But of equal fascination, the foundations of the Burj Khalifa are over 50 meters or 164 foot deep, enabling the Burj Khalifa to withstand the elements, the wind and the rain and the storms and the earthquakes and so on. The strength of a building lies in its foundation. For that matter, the strength, the shape, the character, the quality of a follower of Jesus Christ is in his or her foundation. The strength of a church is not in its building or dependent on the style and the sound of worship or the latest fad, but in its foundation, in and on Jesus Christ. And my Bible says this, it is on this rock, Jesus Christ, that he will build his church. And the powers of hell and all the elements that it throws at it will not prevail. You see, the main purpose of a foundation is to hold the structure above it and keep it upright. A poorly constructed foundation, on the other hand, can be dangerous to the occupants and the surrounding area. These are some of the issues that Jesus is talking about in the parables that we've just read. Jesus knew all about building and carpentry, you see, and he knew all about foundations, and he used this example to teach his followers, to show his followers how to withstand the storms, the trials, the tests, the temptations, the curveballs, the persecutions, the attacks, the disappointments that life throws at you. In the parable that we've just read, Jesus tells us about two houses. He tells us about two different types of foundations, and he tells us about two builders. Let's talk about the two houses. Notice this. Jesus does not comment on the houses themselves. He does not comment on how nice they look. He doesn't say, "I like what you've done with the place." He does not comment on how well decorated they are. He does not comment on the superficial elements of the houses. He does not take us on a tour of the house, showing us the amazing kitchen, the luxurious lounge, the indoor swimming pool, the garden, the hot tub. But what Jesus does do is this. He makes serious comment about the foundation of both houses. You see, one house is built on rock and the other house is built on sand. Your house can be top spec. It can have everything in it, every gadget, every bit of smart technology. But if the foundations of your house are poor or non-existent, it will all be for nothing. When the floods come, when the wind and rain comes, when the earthquake comes, when trouble strikes, when life hits you hard, I guarantee that you will want to be living in a house that has firm foundations. I'm so glad and grateful for the firm foundations that have been established in my life, because 2020 has seen its fair share of storms, wind and rain and so on. And what's true for me is true for many, 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 many people across this nation and across the world. Let me ask you, let me ask us this morning, what are we building our lives on? What are we building our houses on? Let's talk about the foundations first of all. That we build on. Let's talk about sand. Many people build their lives on sand, but ultimately this is dangerous and has potential consequences for all. You see, sand shifts. Sand is temporary. Sand gets weathered away. Sand is soft. Sand is movable, and sand is not foundational. In this day and age, we have a tendency to build our lives on the words and actions of people, politicians, celebrities, sports stars, global leaders, and so on. We have a tendency to over-rely on media and social media. The amount of likes we receive makes us feel good. We have a tendency to rely on money and material objects and so on. None of that is necessarily bad, but if we build our lives solely on these things, if we establish our foundations on these things, then we will soon find ourselves in real trouble. Rick Warren says these things about foundations. We're given lots of different options for what will be the foundations of our lives. popular culture, doing and copying what everyone else is doing. The trouble is, what is popular today won't be popular tomorrow. Tradition. What was good yesterday, was good in the past, might not work for now. And we're certainly realizing this as we rebuild church. In a COVID-19 world, what worked then does not work now. Reason. We live in a world where everybody has a reason, everybody has a view, everybody has a truth. But the trouble is this, reason can falter, leaving many to ask, who can you trust? Who do you trust? Warren talks about emotions. Many choose to build their lives on their feelings, but the trouble is they will spend their lives being manipulated by their moods. These things are not foundational. They don't go deep, and at some point, with the slightest hint of trouble, an unexpected storm, their lives, their houses could come crashing down, and with it bring all sorts of damage, brokenness, and hurt. You see, our world is hurting, our communities are hurting, our nation is hurting. Let's not build our lives on sand. Let's not build our churches on temporary things or superficial things, but let's build our lives on the rock, Jesus Christ. Did you know this? There are three major roles foundations play in the construction of a structure. Number one, a good and strong foundation keeps the building standing while the forces of nature wreak havoc. Many people have asked me during the pandemic and during the course of my life when things have not been easy for whatever reason, how do you still keep standing? How do you keep smiling? How do you crack on with life? How do you manage to find peace? How do you get that sense of joy, John, when there is so much stress, anxiety, and worry, and fear, and sadness, and hopelessness out there? How do you cope? The answer, if I'm honest, is barely sometimes. But the difference is this, that I have a faith, I have a hope, I have a love, I have an assurance, I have a solid rock, a firm foundation who I've built and I'm still building my life on, Jesus Christ. He is the one who protects. He is the one who keeps me safe. He is the one who takes away my fear and my anxiety. He is the one who provides for me and my family. He is my firm foundation. He is my strong tower. He is my authority, the real authority, the only authority. He is the one who enables me to stand firm against whatever comes my way. I love what Psalm 40, verse 2 says. It says these words, "He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid rock and steadied me as I walked along." Number two, the foundation of a building must be built so that it keeps ground moisture from seeping in and weakening the structure. I've noticed in my own life that if I neglect the foundation, if I neglect my relationship with Jesus Christ, if I don't continue to dig deep foundations and root myself in the daily disciplines of reading my Bible, reading His Word, worshiping, and prayer, then I soon find that cracks appear in my own life, enabling water, moisture, sin, unhealthy thoughts, actions, ungodly characteristics to enter, thus weakening the structure of my life. Can I encourage us all as individuals and as a church community to continue to dig deep, to continue to establish firm foundations, to constantly develop and establish and re-establish our relationship with Jesus Christ? We'll talk about how we do that in a minute. The third thing that a foundation does is this. A foundation must be able to withstand what is called the dead load and the live loads. The dead load is the weight or the load of the basic structure itself. This is called dead load as it remains constant. On the other hand, the live load is the weight of the people and other objects that they bring with them. The foundation must be firm and must be able to channel the weight of the entire building to the ground. That's quite fascinating. I tell you what, this morning I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is our firm foundation. Throughout the Bible, Jesus is described as our rock. our cornerstone, our solid ground. Some Bible versions describe him as bedrock, that unmovable baseline rock. And what I love is that nothing is too much for him. He takes us with our dead loads, and he takes us with our live loads. He takes our baggage, he takes our cares, he takes our worries, he takes our concerns, he takes our stresses, he takes our strains. And I love the verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 7 that says these words, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. You know what? Jesus was onto something when he used the analogy of building firm foundations in the parables that we read at the beginning. He wants people everywhere to build their lives on him. We've talked about two houses. We've talked about two foundations. But there were also two builders. One was wise and one was foolish. I wonder which type of builder we're going to be. In Luke 6, verse 46 through to 49, Jesus indicates that there are three simple keys to establishing firm foundations. And this is what the wise builder does. We establish firm foundations, and this is really simple stuff this morning. We establish firm foundations by, number one, coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The Bible says this in James chapter 4, verse 8. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Come to Jesus. Make him Lord and Savior of your life. Hand your life to him. You won't regret it. For those of us who already know Jesus, maybe we need to come back. Maybe this past season has been one of complacency for one reason or the other, whereby we've not attended church because of the pandemic, but at the same time, we've not drawn near to Jesus either. And my plea, my impassioned plea to you is this, come back, come on back, draw near to Jesus once again. You see, complacency can be like the moisture that can get into the foundations and cause weakness. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Number two, listening to Jesus. We establish firm foundations by listening to Jesus. He's got so much that he wants to say to you. Listen to what Jesus has got to say. Get into the Bible. Get into the Word of God. Become a student. Become a learner. As a church, we have a great opportunity to be listeners because we're not allowed to worship audibly together as we have to wear masks. But maybe we have been given a great opportunity to listen. We've been given a great opportunity to be contemplative. The Bible is our guidebook for life. It's the book of books. There's nothing else quite like it. It's true, it's powerful, and it's relevant, yes, even for our society and everything that is going on in the world today. Let's build our lives on his word. If you don't know where to start, start with the gospel. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. Start with the story of Jesus himself. In the Old Testament, start reading through some of the Psalms. And as you do, say, God, speak to me, and he will. And when he speaks, listen. When you listen, give him all of your attention. I often say to my boys when I need their attention, look at me, look at me. I know that when their attention is on me, they're listening. Can I ask a few questions? Who are we listening to? How are we listening? What are we listening to? There is so much more to listening. So number one was come to Jesus. Number two was listen to Jesus. And number three, finally, following Jesus. Jesus does not only want us to come to him. He not only wants us to listen and learn, but he desires action. A follower of Jesus, a true disciple of Jesus, a true learner is somebody like the wise man in our story who not only listens and learns, but he applies, he engages, and he acts on what he is being taught. If we apply the words of Jesus to our lives, if we apply this teaching to our lives, and then our foundations will go deep, and the house, the life that we build, will be able to withstand all that comes against it. And that is true for us as individuals. It's true for us as a church community. Following Jesus is not a once a week, once a month activity. It is 24/7 and it is costly. Jordan said last week, following God demands sacrifice. Following Jesus is about relationship and it is about living out our best life with Him at the center. Following Jesus starts from the ground up. It starts on our knees in worship, in prayer, in growing in His knowledge through the study and the application of His word. Following Jesus is about community. We don't follow Jesus alone. We get to do it with millions of others all across this world. We get to do this as well as a local community of believers together. Ephesians 2 verse 20 says these incredible words, together. Why don't you just say this now? Together, we are His house, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ Himself. Can I encourage us all, despite the season, to build this thing called church together? Engage online. Keep your eye out for some of the things that will be happening in church during the next few weeks and months. Life groups, growth tracks, prayer and worship events. All these things are foundational and will help us as individuals and together as a community grow, develop, and build. In conclusion, part of God's grand design for our lives, for our church, for our community, is that we establish a deep-rooted, solid, unshakable foundation. In short, we build our lives on Jesus Christ, our rock. Final question, is He a rock? Is Jesus your firm foundation? If you want to make Him Lord of your life this morning, if you want to start building your life on Jesus Christ, why not pray this little prayer with me? Thank you, God, for loving me before I ever loved you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that I can get connected to you now because you are alive today. I admit that I've lived my life without you and I've messed up. I ask for your total forgiveness and I commit myself to you. Help me submit my life to your teaching and direction from now on. I want to build firm foundations on you, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. I receive you into my life and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, hey, why don't you get in touch with us via social media? Give us a call at the church or email in because we would love to spend some time praying with you and maybe send you some more literature as well just to help you on this journey, incredible journey of faith. God bless you. Thank you.